In September 2011, the United States was marking the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 terror attacks, that fateful day that was to change the world forever. To remember that tragic day in a constructive way, the American ambassador to the Holy See invited me to listen in on a series of roundtable discussions, and I eagerly accepted. I knew that Ambassador Miguel Diaz had long been cooperating with an Italian community committed to peace building called Rondine, Citadel of Peace, and he had invited Rondine's young people to be the honored guests in the conversations. It seemed to me that the Rondine experiment might offer some solutions to the divisions and hatreds between peoples of different nations, cultures, and faiths that were so dramatically revealed in the attacks of 9/11 and afterwards. The young people at Rondine come from areas of conflict in the Balkans, the Caucasus, the Middle East, and Africa, and live in community in the medieval village of Rondine in Tuscany. They pursue university or master's degrees at Italian institutions while living and sharing with some who back home would be considered their enemies. Some are Sunni or Shia Muslims, others are Jewish and Christians. The Lebanese girl who sat at my table didn't want me to tell you her name because among her friends living at Rondine is an Israeli young man. Technically, their countries are at war, and she might be suspected of being a spy. I'll call her Mirna. Mirna told us that for her, nothing was ever to be the same after that September 11th, 2001.
I got definitely, like everyone, really shocked, really sad from the dramatic attack, because it's something unhuman. It's something that touched every one of us in every aspect. It made us understand that we have to be more careful, to give more attention of the people around us, of the people we care about. So it was quite a shock, and we saw that everything happened very quickly, and we lose everything really easily.
In just a matter of a few moments, yes. And you, coming from Lebanon, it's a country where we've seen so much of these of lesser scale terrorist attacks, but that happen so frequently there.
So this is what gives us more hope, because we're living in this kind of life every day, so we haven't really have this peace around us. So this is why I think everyone young is seeking for peace, so we can enjoy it and live with it, because we're tired of being always attentioned and afraid and living every day as if it's the last one. So that's why we're seeking for peace mainly.
As I was listening to Mirna, I thought of the huge bomb blast in Beirut on Valentine's Day 2005 that killed Lebanon's former Prime Minister Rafik Hariri and some dozen others, a murder that eventually led to mass protests and the withdrawal of Syrian troops from the country. And other images of car bombs targeting politicians, journalists, the mortar-ridden, burnt-out buildings of what was once the Switzerland of the Middle East. After a 17-year-old civil war officially ended in 1990 and a devastating war with Israel in 2006, Lebanon still has a long way to go for peace. You were telling us that your mom called you. You were preparing to go out with friends to celebrate your birthday, and she called you. And what was that conversation like?
I wasn't aware of what's happening that day. I was only 15. I wasn't really attentioned, and I got a call to come back home because in the U.S. something happened, and I didn't really understand what is the point in Lebanon. We're in Lebanon. How come if something happened in the U.S. we have to be scared? And I think this is where everyone understood that what's happening in the U.S. is affecting all over, and as in Lebanon, we really got attention because we have Muslims in Lebanon, and it could also be a reaction to get back to us or anything. So we were really careful in Lebanon. We really were afraid of what's happening next, and we didn't know what can happen. So that's it.
You mean you were afraid of that the U.S. would retaliate against Muslims in Lebanon?
Yeah, the U.S. or any other link to the U.S. also. Every one of us is a human being, no matter what he is, and that will make it easier to communicate with people if you see it as a person, not as a country or as a religion, if you see the person as a person.
Would you say that this experience with the Rondine community has changed you? Are you a different person? Are you going back to Lebanon a different person?
Definitely. Actually, my whole ideas, I got them from Rondine, because before getting here, I had a lot of prejudices, and I had this image that, for example, we cannot talk to Jew because they are bad, we cannot talk to Muslim because they have another idea, they're different than us. But in Rondine, with all those different culture and nationality we have, it makes it easier to live here. It makes us accept the other, talk with them with any kind of conversation, so we can really live everyone beyond all religion and nationalities.
Also at my table was a young Bosnian woman, whom I'll call V. She told us her father died during the 1990s Bosnian War. And while her mother remains terribly bitter to this very day, V wants to get on with her life and refuses to live it in fear or in hatred. She held up the example of a Palestinian girl at Rondine who cried when her Jewish friend returned to Israel. "That's who I want to be," she was saying, "not like so many of the other young people today in Bosnia who, like my mother, are resentful and angry." A young Pakistani Muslim said he was shocked by the 9/11 attacks and had desperately hoped fellow Muslims were not to blame. And again he pointed to the Rondine home, where he said enemies can come together and share their pain and become friends. "Every religion," he said, "features peace, and their leaders should be teaching it." Guy Frischmann was studying political science at the University of Florence while living at Rondine. He's an Israeli who told me Rondine means swallows in Italian.
But it's actually the name of the village as it was found. The story is that it was found about in the 70s by a group of Catholic activists, which just found this place. It was destroyed and abandoned, one of the old agricultural villages that were abandoned after the Second World War. And they decided to adopt it. The church actually gave them the rights to go and to use the property there and to restore it. And slowly they were doing all sorts of activities until in the late 90s, they came up with this idea to start bringing students from conflict countries to live together and to study together.
What was the first impact for you as, I imagine, a Jewish fellow from Israel, probably finding himself amidst a lot of Arabs and perhaps even Palestinians? What was that like?
Well, it was very interesting, shocking and difficult sometimes, because you get to meet people who have a very different paradigm than your own, and you learn new points of view. So it's a process. The beginning is a little bit difficult, but then slowly you start getting to know the people and you stop looking at them as nationalities and as labels: Arab, Jewish, Israeli, Lebanese, Palestinian. You start seeing them as people.
Is that something that you might be bringing back with you, that lesson learned when you go back home?
Well, I think that's the point, basically, of what we're doing, because it starts with us, but then we have family visiting us and we have friends visiting us, so the circle expands. Immediately, once you have this link, then somebody's brother or sister comes, so that person is automatically inserted into the friendly energy that we have, and immediately he doesn't look at me with suspicion, maybe in the first few minutes, but then he is more easily eased into the situation. So that's also the idea, because for me, that is the basis of the conflict. Now, it's not a conflict about territory or about religion or about nationality. It's about the understanding that we can live together as human beings and that we need to identify each other as human beings. And friendship is the key to that.
Where can you go from here? I mean, how can we use religion as a force for good and not as a means of conflict?
War and bloodshed are going on all around the world these days. And we have to do our piecework, not separated from these subjects, but intertwined with these subjects, with these difficulties, because otherwise we're living in Tuscany and in the beautiful countryside, and we're completely detached from reality. So the point is to talk about these situations, to understand these situations from different points of view, and to understand how every one of us in his individual life, in his career, in his future can contribute to a positive change in the situation.
And what sort of message are you going to be taking back to your friends and family in Israel? You said some people have been visiting you here, but now that you've had this experience, you've met Palestinians and Arabs and people from all over the world here and shared your feelings and experiences with them. What are you going to bring back with you?
Well, my message may sound like a banality because it sort of is really used a lot and without even thinking about it. But my message is the one of humanity, and that in the end, I sat with my enemy in brackets, and I saw that this enemy is moved by the same energies that I'm moved by the same patriotism and love for my country and love for my people and hope to build a better future of prosperity and of peace. So once I've seen that the other side is moved by the same energies that I am, and that he's not a monster, he's not a fundamentalist religious person, although there are fundamentalist religious people who are uncompromising and don't want to hear other points of view. On all sides, it's not something that has to do just with Islam, with Judaism, or Christianity, and all ideologies and all groups. You have people like that. The idea is through nonviolent action, through humanizing action, to go and to meet the other person and to make a friend out of an enemy, which it sounds like a banality, but this is what we need to do. I think that if we want to talk politically specifically about the solution to the Israeli-Palestinian, Israeli-Arab crisis, I don't think that banging the leaders' heads together is going to bring us anywhere. I think the work has to be grassroots work that is going to bring the people closer, that's going to create community between Israelis and Palestinians.
At the end of the roundtable conversations, I am humbled by what I've seen and heard, and wonder if world leaders would be put to shame by the openness, simplicity, and honesty of these young people in their response to war and violence. I ask Ambassador Diaz if Rondine is a model to be multiplied.
And somehow also the experience of suffering that many of these young men and women have binds them together and then enables them to show some kind of empathy and to identify with others who have suffered. And so I'm not surprised that these young men and women have so much empathy for those who suffered the terrible tragedy of 9/11. And so, again, I think it's, as you said, this is a wonderful model and worthy of imitation. As for what I would like to see from here, I would like to see efforts like this multiply. I would like to see conversations and words turn into actions. And so what I like to do is to continue this project that has been that has started and see where it goes. And I think that if we continue to one person at a time, one table at a time, we had five tables of students. If we continue to build on this energy, and if we continue to build on the ideas, we can change different communities around the world, because these young men and women represent, someone said, you have gathered the United Nations. They are little United Nations. And so I think if we can continue to tap into young men and women like the ones we had here today, we could make a little difference in the world around us.
And a warm thanks there to the American ambassador to the Holy See, Miguel Diaz, and to all of my other guests on this program. And to find out more about the Rondine Young People's Project, or to simply see how you can help, check out their website. That's on www.rondine.org. That's www.rondine.org.